Welcome to the Nova Churches podcast. We are a vibrant, dynamic, multicultural church in Alexandria, Virginia. Join us at 11 a.m. on Sundays. For more information, go to www.thenovachurch.com. We're excited to share this week's message with you. God bless.
Amen. Can we lift our hands and give the Lord some praise right now? Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that you'll make a way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, we lift you up right now. Lord, we declare it in this place, God, that we give you the glory and the honor. Are you thankful that he'll make a way in your situation? Amen. No reason to be afraid. God will make a way. Amen. Before and he'll make a way again. Can I get a witness, somebody? Amen. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to transition very quickly to the word of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Teenagers, you are dismissed to Sunday school. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 4. I don't plan to be long today, but do have kind of a continuation from last week and a bridge to next week, as I think you're going to see where the Lord wants to go today. And 1 Samuel chapter 4, starting in verse 19. Now his daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant and about to give birth. Yeah, that's actually what made me think of the props of the new baby. And when she heard the news that the ark of God was captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed and gave birth, for her pains came upon her. And about that time of her death, the woman attending her said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have borne a son." But she did not answer or pay attention, and she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel, because the ark of God has been captured. And because of her father-in-law and her husband." 1 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 6. You skip to the next chapter. The Bible says, "The hand of the Lord was heavy against the people of Ashdod, and he terrified and afflicted them with tumors. And when the men of Ashdod saw how the things were, they said, 'The ark of God of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is hard against us and against Dagon, our God.'" Amen. I want to preach to you today on this subject, when the glory departs. When the glory departs. Amen. We're going to preach on that today. Turn to somebody and say, "When the glory departs." Amen. And you may be seated. For what we know in our text that we just read is Israel is in an interesting predicament and a situation. For they have found the state and condition thereof that Israel, the nation, has shifted through a season and a period of kings and or judges at this point, and they have been delivered out of the bondage of Pharaoh. They have wandered in the wilderness. They were led by Joshua into the promised land. And then these series of judges that you read through begin to help orchestrate and to lead the people of God. And then there enters into the picture Eli. And Eli is a tremendous man of God, and yet he seems to have a blind spot in his life. He seems to have found a problem that he has these two boys of his that are running wild, and they are acting like a bunch of hooligans, and they're just crazy, and they're doing a whole bunch of crazy stuff. And there comes a problem that Eli is so following God, and he does not waver, but he allows this sin and this disobedience, this rebellion, to not only occur, but to flourish. And the people of Israel get a very sour taste in their mouth, and so much so that the Lord decides that he cannot continue the trend with Eli's sons to use them. And so we find that Samuel is dedicated to the Lord, and Samuel comes into the picture, enter 1 Samuel 1, 2, and 3. And in 1 Samuel 1, 2, and 3, we find that Samuel is called by God and chosen by God based on the condition of the sons of Eli. Now, let me just say this, and this really is just kind of a reminder that nobody is replaceable in the kingdom of God. I didn't think I'd get a lot of amens there. But nobody is irreplaceable in the kingdom of God, meaning that you may be called by God and you may be chosen by God, but just because you're called and just because we're chosen doesn't mean we can go against what God wants us to go, thinking that, oh, I'm called and therefore I'm irreplaceable in the kingdom of God. God is always looking for somebody to follow what he wants in his will, in his way, and to follow his purpose. Somebody say amen. And so because of that, we find that these guys, they thought that they're irreplaceable and they can do whatever they want. And now Samuel's here. Samuel's in this condition. And this is where finally the Lord eliminates these two called chosen boys of Eli. And let me just say this today, is we have to be careful that sometimes we don't take the call of God or the presence of God or the glory of God for granted. I know that God has a calling on your life, and God has an anointing on your life, and God has a purpose for your life. But just because there's a call, and just because there's a purpose, and just because there's anointing, don't mean we can just dismiss it and act however we want to act. Somebody say amen. And therefore, we understand that we want to follow the Lord, and we do not take that for granted, because we need God. We need the Lord. And the fact of the matter is today that we have to understand that regardless of our situation or our status or what's going on, the first and foremost thing is we need the Lord. We need God to be first and foremost in the center of our life. If we don't understand that, then everything else from this point forward just goes to the wayside. That we have to have a premise before we go a little further, that God has to be the priority. He must be the preeminence. He must be first and foremost in every area of our life. And when he is, then things fall into an alignment. And when we understand that God is the priority, that is when we become aligned with his will and aligned with the assignment that God has for your life. So we need God. But as we look into the story and we look into our text of the Ark of the Covenant, it has so many applications and so many intricacies that we are fascinated, and we are finding that there is this situation where the Ark of the Covenant is the presence of God, and it is the power of God, and it is the symbol that who God is, the manifest present, that God will dwell among his people. And we see that is this Ark of the Covenant that is here, and they're in this battle. And we have to understand that we never want to take God for granted, that even when his power and even when his glory is in the middle of us, we never want to say, well, there it is, and hey, it's just another day, and can I preach for just a second? That's why we never just want to take worship for granted or service for granted. We never just want to take coming to church for granted. But we understand that, God, this is an opportunity to come before your holy presence and to understand, God, that this is a moment that I can come before you and I can experience who you are. And that's not just on Sunday mornings, but that's it could be in your living room or in your car or at your job or in your the break room or in your desk or on a walk. I'm here today to tell you, I never want to take the glory of God for granted, because the glory of God, there's no substitute for the glory of God. There's no imitation that can compare to the glory of God, the presence of God, and the power of God. And when we start to think that there's a substitute for the glory of God, we begin to take things for granted. And hear me today, the real thing is always better than the imitation. Can I get a witness on that? The real thing's always better than the imitation. I don't know about you, but imitations are close, but no cigar. I mean, sometimes it's dramatic. Now, as I am on a diet with my wife, I've come to understand how terrible imitation things really are. I've never thought in my life, you know what sounds really good right now is a Diet Coke. Never said that in my life. I've never thought, you know what sounds really good right now is some diet lemonade. Never, never crossed my mind. And I've never thought, you know what I really want? I don't want real sugar in my coffee. I want some of that Splenda. No! I don't know anybody who openly volunteered for the first time, said, you know what I've really been craving is some of the stevia. That's really what I want is some sweet and low, some equal or whatever else that imitation stuff is. It cannot compare to the real stuff. Most of the time you go to that stuff because you are having to make a decision to get rid of the real stuff. But it doesn't taste as good as the real stuff. Can I get a witness, somebody? And I was trying, somebody at work had a cake, and they said, oh, it's a sugar-free cake. And I said, well, I guess I can try it sugar-free. And I tasted it, and it almost instantly I wanted to, like, throw it out of my mouth. It was like, what is that garbage this I'm eating here? And the imitation never is as good as the real thing. And oftentimes, imitation has substitutes that make it inferior to the real thing. Maybe it does not cost as much. If you have that off-brand clothes that doesn't last as long, right? Those shirts that you know, I'm only going to get like 5 good wears out of this mug, and then it's gone, right? In fact, you will be like, I can never wear this again, so I only get like real 5 good uses because you know the logo. I bought a Superman shirt one time, and as I bought the Superman shirt, I bought it, and I thought, oh, I'm going to wear this around, and I knew that the thing wasn't going to last long because it was like a cheap one. I was like, hey, get this for $5, like a little kiosk at the mall. I was like, that's what I need is a Superman shirt. After like the third time, I realized this mug is not going to last more than 2 more times. So every time I'd say, you know what I could do? I could wear this. Nope, not today, because I've only got 2 more use of it. Because the quality wasn't nearly as good as something that I probably could have paid $19 or $20 for that probably would have lasted me a long time. Sometimes an imitation is different because it is made from a different substance. It doesn't have the same makeup or the matter. And what we find is that's the same thing what happens with our worship. And in 1 Samuel chapter 5 in our text. See, hang on, I'm about to tie this together. You're going to say, oh, that's where pastor's going. Now watch this. In 1 Samuel chapter 5, we find that when they were comparing the God of Israel, the God who is the creator, to their God of Dagon, they said it doesn't line up. It doesn't compare to the presence and the power of the living God. I've got good news for somebody today, that no matter what you are facing, that you can try all the substitutes of the world, but they don't have the same substance, and they don't have the same quality, and they don't have the same power and makeup as Jesus does. Because when you serve a living God, what we know is that He is all powerful, and He will give you what you need, and He will come through. And that's why you can stand here this morning and sing the song, oh, I'm not afraid. Oh, God, I'm not afraid, because you're going to make a way. You're faithful in this situation. And God, I don't know what it looks like, but what I do know is that, God, you'll make a way out of this situation, because He's a living God. The Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. See, you can get something that may look and have a similar look, but the makeup, it's different. A few years ago, you know, I want to be careful how I phrase this, but this is a room full of adults, so hopefully this doesn't offend too many folks, but if you are offended, that's a good reason to come down to the altar in a few moments and forgive Pastor. And now watch this. So a few years ago, you know, sometimes when you are shallow or something, you're like, you know what, I want to get, you know, something of fashion, if you're into fashion. And all these friends of mine, they started to get, now this was like a decade ago, I don't even know if it's still cool, but they had these Movado watches. And I started saying, well, I want a Movado watch. They got a Movado watch. He's got a Movado watch. He's got a Movado watch. You know, I was like, you need a Movado watch. You know, that's when you've arrived, right? It was like, it's not as expensive as a Rolex, but it's like a Movado watch. So I was going to New York. And as I'm going to New York, some of y'all know where I'm going with this, is somebody says, oh, you know, you could get a Movado watch. Now, a Movado watch, like, $1,000 on up, right? And they said, I can get you a Movado watch for, like, $50. I said, what? What's up, dog? He said, yeah, come with me. We're going to go over to Chinatown. I said, what? I said, yeah. So we go over to this, and I'm like, okay, you know what? You can't tell the difference. He goes, you're not going to be able to tell the difference. And I said, well, man, I'm broke, and I don't have $1,000. But I got $50, and I could at least play like I got a Movado. You know, like, you know, that's when sometimes you'd be like, you know, you want to worship, you'd be like, oh, do the extra short sleeve. Oh, Jesus has been good to us. Glory. Oh, brother, how are you? You know, can I get a witness? Some of y'all may worship like that. Somebody around you might have been worshiping like that, doing the glory. No. So I was like, well, you know, that's what I need, you know. And then when I'm preaching, I'm like, let me just, oh, yeah, I'm preaching a little long, folks, you know. So I said, oh, I got $50. Let me just do that. And so they said, come on with me. So long story short is we go over and we catch a metro down. And as we go, I'm fired up. I'm like, I'm going to get a Movado. I'm about to have a Movado. You know, I'm fired up. So I said, how's this thing work? And so somebody comes up to me and they said, oh, you looking for something? I said, yeah, Movado watch. And so they said, come with me. And then the adventure began. And at one point, I thought I was going to be kidnapped because they go up to this wall. Anybody ever been to Chinatown? Okay, all five of you know what I'm talking about, right? The rest of y'all, you got to get the picture of this. You go up and you knock on the wall, and there's a wall there, and somebody says something in another language. And then there's like a password, except it's not a password, but I don't know what they said because it's a different language. And then this metal door opens, and it's like a handoff. The person that brought me here leaves me. Go with them. So me and my buddy, we go through the door, and they take us to another door. It's like locked again. Something else. Different word, though, because I was trying to figure out what the word was. And then this door opens. They take me up three flights of stairs. Then they come to another room, and then there's two doors. And then they take me to the left door, and then they knock again. And then we go up, and then somehow we went downstairs. I was like, didn't I just go upstairs? Why am I going downstairs if I just went upstairs? I'm so confused right now. And I thought, this was the end, all over a fake Movado watch. Who knew that something such a good idea would turn out to be so bad? And I was like, they're never going to know where I am. Cell phone service, I'm like, I don't even know if I've got service in here. Like, I'm toast. So finally, we go into this room, and a guy says, what do you want? I said, I'd like to be free. But while I'm in that process, do you have a Movado watch? The guy said, I got Movados. And I swear to you, he goes, and there's like a bunch of watches. I'm like, is this real? Is this how this is going down? Where am I in this Chinatown? Some of y'all are going to go to New York now just so you can go to Chinatown and find it. I'm looking for a Coach purse. So I buy the Movado watch, $50. I think I still got that mug somewhere in a closet. And as I go to buy the watch, I realize it looks the same. It's telling time. But when I flip the watch over, the Movado is crooked. So, well, isn't that something? You can't adjust that. So I'm doomed. And then I thought to myself, okay, I got this knockoff, but nobody's going to know because they're not going to see the crooked thing on the back. I got this. So I wear it to the very first thing. I go and I'm going to meet some friends. And, of course, you know, I'm not going to wear a long sleeve shirt. I'm wearing a t-shirt. It's like 35 degrees outside. I'm wearing a t-shirt, you know. And I sit there and they go, hey, you got a new watch? I said, yeah, you know, something like that. And they said, Movado, huh? And I said, mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if that's really a lie. It may seem like a lie. That's, Lord, forgive me now that I ponder that. But the reality of it was, is they go, that ain't real. And I said, I didn't even know how to poker face. I was just like, how'd you know? And I go, really? What makes you say that? And obviously my face is red and I'm going, I went through almost getting kidnapped for this stupid watch. And lo and behold, who knew? Here I am. And they said, oh, I can tell. Because the little thing's in the wrong place. Oh, get out of here. See, the problem is sometimes we get so caught up with things of fake substances and imitation that we're willing to say, oh, I'm willing to go through all of the rigmarole. I'm willing to see whatever God has for me as long as I think I can fake everybody else out. But the reality of it is when we get into the presence of God, there is a distinct difference between his power and his peace and his glory and something fake of this thing. You can go to 15,000 yoga classes. You can do namaste all you want and upward dogs and downward dogs and ninja poses. I don't care how it is, but you can't find the same thing that the Lord can offer. You can't find the peace of God. The world can try to offer it, but I'm here today to tell you the only person that can offer you real peace is the Prince of Peace. The only person that can really heal is when I'm telling you when there's an incurable disease and they don't know. You can do trials all you want, but I'm here today to tell you, when you get in the presence of God, God can heal your body. He can set you free. He can deliver you. You can do steps all you want, but when God's in it, he can instantly take that thing away from you. See, the issue is this, is that when we oftentimes think, oh, I can find a substitute, that is when we begin to put God on the back burner. And when we put the Lord on the back burner, can I get a witness, somebody? What we begin to say is, oh, I praise God in the good times. But when I actually need him, I may go try to find a substitute first. And then we put God as the last resort. Can I get a witness, somebody? I'm here today to tell you that the Lord has to be first. He has to be first in what we are following. Because I'm here today to tell you this. There are things that can be like it, but they don't last. They may be similar, but they're not sustainable. And hear me, that's why we've got to understand that we can find things in this world, but they can't compare to Jesus. And I'm here today to tell you that he wants glory out of your life, and he wants glory out of your actions and glory out of your words, and God wants to get glory out of your situations. And when he puts you into something, it's so he can get glory out of it, so somebody else that's lost and somebody else can say, oh, I didn't understand, but now I see that, boy, that God that they serve, they're real, and I don't know what they have, but I know what they have is completely different than what I want, than what I have. This week I got a testimony, and I challenged the church to pray and to continue to pray for Barry Suber's mom. Barry's mom was diagnosed, and she needs a liver transplant. And we got let me just share a testimony of what the Lord can do is the power of prayer. Well, let me just say something. God answers the prayers of his people. And when you begin to pray, God will hear and God will answer. And she said, they need a liver transplant. They've got 3 to 6 months to live. And if she doesn't get a liver transplant, she's going to die. And so we began to pray. We prayed Tuesday night at our group. We prayed Friday, and we got a report saying, you know what, hey, they started going, and they began to examine the liver, and long story short is that it's now functioning the way it does, that it's beginning to function back to normal, and they don't know if she's even necessarily going to need a liver transplant because God's beginning to do something. He said, keep praying. He said, there's a miracle that's in the process. Hear me today, somebody. That's when all of a sudden the doctor says, there's nothing else we can do. There's nothing else we've got, but we just need somebody to help you. And God says, no, let me begin to help. Let me. He is the Bible says he's the great physician. Things can be similar, but they're not sustainable. And substitutes can try to impress people, but they're not the real thing. And a substitute for God may try to impress other people, and it may be flashy and have status and prestige for a moment, but it does not last. That new car, after a while, it's just a car. Anybody remember your first time you got a new car? I mean, like, a car that is new to you, maybe not like a new car. Some of you are like, I've never had a new car. What does a new car mean? No, like, you've got a car that is now your first time that you're driving this vehicle that is yours. I don't even know if that's clear. Am I clear on that, Nathan? I'm struggling here, okay? People are way lost. Okay, remember you got a new thing and you sat in the new thing, okay? It's a tough crowd. I'll use this example. Today we've had AV problems. Stinking new computer isn't working and crashing, and the microphone's not working. Well, I was like, I remember sometimes when you get something new, it's fresh. Eventually, it's no longer new. It wears off. It's no longer sustainable, and you can continually try to fill a void of stuff and new because you want something, but eventually that void will go, that void will eventually become empty again. It's a vacuum that continually sucks stuff up, and if you don't put the right thing in, eventually you'll have to find something else new, which is why people begin to find themselves addicted to things to fill a void that only He can fill. That's why He created the void. He is the creator. He created something in you that can't be achieved by other things. But hear me today. What we find is that Jesus is the answer to the void, and He is the only thing that will satisfy. And other things won't last. And you can impress onlookers for a minute, and you can impress people for a minute, but Jesus is not impressed with your stuff. He's not impressed with that because He knows what the real answer is. Let me hurry on. Jeremiah 10:10 says, but the Lord is the only true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. The whole earth trembles at His anger, and the nations cannot stand up to His wrath. Psalms 33:4, but the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything He does. Can I just say that verse one more time? Psalms 33:4, for the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything that He does. That is the power of a sustainable God that we serve. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you've got your Bibles, we see that the Lord wants to get glory out of the situation. He wants to perhaps get glory out of what you've been through. Even in the roughest and toughest times, God can still get glory out of that. Can I be honest today? Sometimes when I watch other people's situations and I watch their faith in those situations, I sit there and I think, man, I don't know how they do it. I could never do what they do. I just can't imagine going through that thing. I can't imagine some of the tragedies of life. Some of the roughest things that you've ever seen. I had a friend. I was at Youth Congress. And a pastor friend of mine, great guy. Known him for like 15, 16 years. And his wife was suffering with some mental illness. And drove to a bridge with their six-year-old in the car, and jumped over the bridge, killed herself, pastor's wife. And I heard it just absolutely devastated for them and their family, three kids, teenagers, 14, 15, 12, I think 10 or 6, the boy is 7 or 8, I mean, just young kids. Can you imagine watching that? And so I seen the pastor, and sometimes you don't know what to say in those situations. Can I just be honest today? There's times where, which is funny because I'm a preacher, I speak. So you would think that, oh, you know what to say. You use words. That's what you do, is you use words. And sometimes you just don't know what to say. And so I just say, hey, man, how you doing? I love you, and I'm praying for you. And he just instantly starts telling me the story. And I didn't ask to hear the story, but he told me the story. And I was like, well, I'm glad he's telling me. I'm thrilled because I'd love to hear it. I didn't want to intrude and be rude and be like, tell me how it went down, bro. So he's telling me the details of how this situation happens. But in the middle of that, I don't tell you all of that to say, as he's sitting there in the lobby of this hotel, he looks at me and he starts to have tears in his eyes. And he says, but you never imagine how good God's been in the last 3 weeks to him and my family. He said, there's been times where I've held my boy till 4 a.m. while he's crying through the night, asking why did mommy jump off the bridge when he watched his mom jump off the bridge from the car. And he said, it's amazing to watch how God's healing my son and God's healing my daughter. I can't fathom that. Can I just be honest today? I can't fathom holding my kids, trying to answer, why did Jesus let this happen to my mommy? I don't understand. I can't put myself in that picture. And every time I do, I can't even grasp how that works out. But what I do know is that when there's so situations, somehow he's sitting there in a lobby to me telling me, but God's been faithful. And he said, the church has been so good to my family. And he said, the love that people have begun to show me. Thank God for a church. But you know what? Thank God that that man's faith is a testimony to me. That as he's sitting there going through one of the darkest trying times of his life, he's sitting there telling me, I'm here today to tell you, God's faithful. And Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is writing to the church in verse 8, and he says, we're pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. This is the ESV. He said, through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus. Watch this. So that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yeah, we live in constant danger of death, but we serve Jesus. Watch this. So that the life of Jesus will be evident. And that's the key. So that it may be in us. That we are a reflection of him. That the glory of God be reflected, not so people praise us, but so that people can understand it's not of me, but it's of him. And when I don't know what to do, and I don't know the answer, and I don't know how to make it, that someone can look at me and say, but you know what, I don't know how they're making it. And you say, I don't know either, but what I do know is that the Lord has been faithful, and he's been good. And the love of God has been so powerful. And then we find in verse 13 through 18, and I'm done, Brother Mike. Let's all stand. We'll continue more of this thought next week as I'm not going to get through this. But I feel like this is where the Lord's going to just pump the brakes right here. He said, but we continue to preach the same kind of faith that the psalmist said, I believed in God, so I spoke. When you believe it, you'll speak it. What you believe is what you speak. The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. That when you begin to speak those things, when you believe it, you'll speak it. But then he said this in verse 15, and all of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's coming. And God will receive more and more glory. This is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. This is what Paul is saying. He's saying, this is why we don't give up. He said, he's going to get more and more and more glory. And watch this. So we don't look at our troubles that we can see now, but rather we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last forever. Eternity must be our priority. And when your priority is to live, you're concerned with what you can get, how to enhance your life. But when you are concerned with eternal life, all of a sudden, you care about his glory. The glory of God does not dwell with sin, but it is against his nature. But what we know is that he came so that we can behold his glory, for the glory of God dwelt among us. Today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't have time to go through the story of Ichabod, and I sure meant to land there. But I feel if I can summarize this, this may bring some clarity of where some people are today. That in essence, we find that when the Ark of the Covenant was taken and removed to the Philistines, we've seen that there was people, particularly the wife of Phinehas, who said, I named my child Ichabod, for the glory of the Lord has departed. She's not just sad because of a military defeat. She was in sorrow because her father-in-law and her husband had now died. But the sorrow was not named upon her child, but for the reason that the glory had departed. Because she knew that once the glory was gone, that there was going to be something missing in her life. I'm here today to tell you that what we need is the glory of God in our lives so that other people can see glory through us, not just for us. It's not just to say, look at how great you are, you're a good Christian, but it's so people can see him, not so that they can see us. Today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't know what you're going through today, but what I do know is this, is that the Lord is faithful, and there is nothing that can compare to him. He is the living God. He is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And today, if you need God to do something in your life, I'm here today to tell you that he's brought you into that situation so that he can get glory out of that situation. And what you need today is to just begin to submit to him and say, God, I need strength today. I need your power, and I need your presence in my life. And you need to, what you may need is to be born again. If you've never been born again, if you've never been baptized, today is your day. We have the baptismal outside. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that is being born of the Spirit. The Bible says that if you don't have the Spirit, you are none of his. Why? Because you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He is living inside of you. That's how he gives you power to overcome today. And today, if you need God to do something in you, I'm here today to tell you, you're in the right place. You just need to plug back in, and he'll begin to give you that power. He'll begin to give you that glory. He'll begin to give you that strength that you need to overcome. Today is your day to make that decision and step forth. Today is the day of salvation. And today is the day that the Lord wants to begin to redeem you and to bring you in. But ultimately, I then encourage you that if you have not been born again, and if you are not facing a situation in which you are pondering, God, where are you, or why are you, or what have you done, and why are you putting me in this situation? If that is not you, Perhaps the question may be, is God, are you getting glory out of my life? God, are you getting glory at my job? Glory to my neighbors? God, do people look at me and see you? For I must decrease so that he can increase. Jesus said, if you are a follower, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. If you are to follow him, it's a denial of taking up. Today, this altar is open right now. That I wonder if you could come down to the front and find a place where you can either commit, whether that's saying, God, I need your glory in my life. But today is a day that I encourage you, you don't have to go through this alone. If you feel disconnected from God and you can't feel the presence of God, what you need is a fresh touch of his glory. You need the power of God. You need the Holy Ghost living in your life. Just come right now, make a step quickly. Thank you, thank you. If you need God to do something in your life, I want you to come down and raise your hands and begin to say, God, I need something. I need your power. I need your glory. Come on, church, come down and pray right now. And I wonder if you could just begin to say, God, I need to give more glory in my life. I must decrease, God, so you can increase. Lord, I don't want people to look at me and think, God, that guy, look at him. I want people to look at me and see you and say, boy, he serves Christ. He serves somebody more. If you need God today, I encourage you that this is the day to make that step. This is that moment in which you can follow the Lord. Today is the day in which I say, God, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For God, I must make eternity my priority. God, the glory of God to dwell in me, God, and the glory of God to dwell in our midst. And God, I pray that, Lord, sin, God, be removed. And God, I pray sin, God, begin to be taken away. Father, I pray that the sins, God, that I have done, God, you would remove and wash and cleanse in the name of Jesus right now. I thank you for what you're going to do. I thank you, God, for who you are. Lord, I lift you up and declare it right now in the name of Jesus, that God, you would touch us in this place, that God, your power would be in this place. Come on, that's it. Just go ahead and begin to give it to the Lord right now. Say, God, give me strength in this place. God, renew me in this place. Revive me, God. I need you, oh God. Glory that it was sin that has separated. Oh Lord, you meet us in this place today. Unto the Lord. Begin to verbalize that. Say, God, I pray in the name of Jesus, for we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, for an eternal perspective, God, that, Lord, we sow, God, in for an eternal perspective. God, we make sure that you are our priority for an eternal perspective. Lord God, that you would get glory out of my situation. God, I pray, Lord, that you would get glory, God. Hallelujah, Jesus, out of everything that I do and everything that I restrain from. In the name of Jesus, God, help us today. God, keep us right now. Protect us, oh God. Father, I give it to you right now in the name of Jesus. We love you. We declare it. We thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We lift you up. I wonder if you could just worship him right now and just begin to say, God, I worship you. I worship you, God. I